Carol Wood Thompson couldn't be here, unfortunately. She's our project director. But I do want to thank her and everyone else on our team, our primary investigator, Dr. Berkeley Patton, one of our grad students, Marcy, is in the audience today, and the rest of our team who helped with this project. And so this is Project FIT, Faith Influencing Transformation, is a multi-level health intervention that was done in African-American churches in the Kansas City metro area. And so I'm going to give you a brief background and overview of the project and talk about what it was, but then I'm going to zone in on the health screening aspect and talk more about that and some of the lessons that we learned from doing this project. We do not have any relationships to disclose. And so this study focused on planning, developing, and pilot testing a church-based health intervention in African-American churches in the Kansas City area. And so using a community-based participatory research framework, we worked with our Community Action Board to figure out what health disparity our community wanted to see addressed with the project. To do that, we did a needs assessment survey. There were 463 folks who took the survey. They made up 11 different organizations, community and church organizations in our area. And we asked them what health disparity was most important for us to address with our project. So from that, we learned that more than two-thirds of the church and community members who completed the survey said that diabetes, heart disease, and stroke were the issues that they saw in their community that they wanted to see us address and do an intervention for. And so using that as the basis for the intervention, we wanted to listen to what the community was saying. And so with them and with our Community Action Board, which is made up of local faith leaders, congregants, community organizations, us on the academic end from the university, health organizations, working with them, we developed this project. And so using strategies, health education, healthy eating, physical activity, and weight loss promotion, the whole intervention was culturally and religiously tailored. And so if you look at the picture on the right, those are tools that were developed by our Community Action Board specifically for this project. So for example, one of them is a sermon guide that incorporates scripture messages, the body being a temple, focused on healthy eating. So incorporating these tools, there are some bookmarks, responsive reading, things that could be easily used in what the church is already doing, but tailoring the message to promote these goals. And then I mentioned it's a multi-level health intervention, and as some of our other speakers have mentioned, you know, the church has been at the forefront of social justice issues and in Kansas City as well. And so we wanted the intervention not only to reach the community, or the congregants of the church, but the church has a broad impact on our community as well. And so these tools could be used, for example, some were passed out during church outreach events. Some were done during church services, like the responsive readings, or during the smaller ministry group meetings as well. And then on the individual level, that's where the health screenings really come in, and that's what I'm going to focus in on today, the process of that and how we work together with our community partners and other organizations to make that happen. And so before we could, you know, decide what we needed, who we needed to bring in on this, and who we needed to have at the screenings themselves, we had to decide what we wanted to measure. And so thinking back to that diabetes, heart disease, and stroke prevention, we decided to look at A1C, cholesterol, blood pressure, weight height, and BMI, and waist circumference. And so once we figured out those biometric measurements that we wanted to have, then we worked with our partner organizations to actually get folks on board to make sure we have the capacity to be able to do these. We wanted to have the screening available during the Sunday morning health service, since that's when most folks are in the church, and that way it would be much more easily accessible. And that's what the community feedback was as well, that they wanted to be able to access it at a time when they were already at the church. And so in addition to that, and figuring out how we're going to have all these different organizations involved on site on a Sunday morning, we also had a survey that we wanted to conduct on health beliefs and behaviors to be able to measure what folks already knew about some of these issues and what they felt about them. And so we wanted to add that in to the Sunday morning health screening to have everything done at the same time. And so trying to figure out how to do all of that at once in a very limited amount of time with a lot of different people involved. And so I keep saying we and talking about our partners, and to give you hopefully a little bit clearer picture of who was involved, we had our community partners, which was our community action board that was made up of a lot of these different organizations as well, and they're the ones who really guided and helped implement the project. There were 6 churches involved in this particular project. It was a pilot intervention, and so there are 3 intervention churches and 3 comparison churches. Our health organizations, some of whom provided the equipment for us to be able to do the screenings on site. Some of them were the lab screeners themselves from the local hospital doing the finger prick to get the A1C and cholesterol. You had a couple of our partner organizations, the YMCA. The intensive part of this project was using their diabetes prevention program classes. So depending on what people's numbers were at the screening, they would get signed up on site at the health screening to be enrolled in that program, and they would come out to the churches then weekly instead of them having to go to the Y or off-site somewhere. The American Diabetes Association was a program that was in our comparison churches. It was a little less intense since they only meet once a month. And then us from the university, we had some of our nursing volunteer students who were helping with the screenings. We had our team who was there doing the surveys and checking people in and out, making sure they qualified for the study. And so a quick overview, the screening process could kind of be broken up into 3 parts. There was the initial recruitment, getting participants to come out. We had the Sunday morning screenings themselves, which ended up including the survey on site as well. And then referrals, which were done at the intervention churches, were on site at the end of the screening. And then the program, while these screenings and surveys being done, we did it at baseline and then again 8 months later to follow up to see if there's change. Those tools were being implemented, the programs were being done, and that's all going on in between too. And so for recruitment, we would go out to the churches 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before, to Sunday morning services, to Wednesday night Bible studies, to outreach events, like if the church had a food pantry. And we had a script that we would read approved by our IRB and the university that would talk about the project. We'd answer any questions. We had already connected with some of the church leaders and pastors before we went in, and they let us know when they thought it would be best for us to come by. There were certain eligibility criteria, so we were looking just for adults for this study. And the churches had eligibility criteria as well, but we would make sure folks were eligible, and then if they were interested and wanted to participate, we would get their contact information and schedule them. And after talking with our community partners and the screeners and folks who are going to be there on site, we wanted to recruit about 60 people per church for the 6 churches. All 6 churches had these screenings, and we just didn't have the capacity, even with all of our partners involved, to be able to take 60 people at once and get them through this. So to alleviate that and keep people from having to wait too long, we did a scheduling. And this form just gives you an idea of what it looked like. So we had people sign up for time slots, and that really helped the day of. It kept people flowing through smoothly. No one had to wait too long to actually get the screening done. And so we had a lot of positive feedback about them not having to wait in line to get this done. They could get in, get out, and go back to the church service. And so one of the things that really helped, because we had so many people involved, we had a lot of meetings beforehand to figure out who was doing what and how we would actually make this work. And so our staff was doing the survey. We were coordinating with the other agencies, recruiting participants, and then doing the survey on site, making sure that folks were eligible, that they agreed to it and consented, getting their contact information, and getting them reimbursed. They did get money for their time, taking the time out to do this. The screeners themselves were doing the finger pricks to do A1C and cholesterol, and then doing the BMI stations and blood pressure. Linkage to care services were provided on site for our intervention churches, and we wanted to do that because sometimes if we just gave them their numbers and didn't have someone to explain and actually go through what those numbers meant, we didn't think that was going to be very useful or helpful. And so once they went through the whole process, they would meet with folks from either a CHW who would link them into care if that's what they needed and could answer any questions they had about the screening results, or if they qualified for the diabetes prevention program through the Y, the DPP, they would also be enrolled on site as well, and they could answer any questions they had right there. And so to give you an idea of the layout, what this actually looked like, all of these churches had a very similar layout, and this will give you a little bit more of an idea of how the partners were involved. So participants would come in, And they would come to us and check in if they had already, if they were already eligible. We would consent them and get them the survey, and they would go and complete that and bring that back up to us. Or if some folks had just heard of us, we made announcements during the service while this was going on, and so we got some new folks to come down as well, made sure they were eligible, consented them, got them their survey too. From there, they would actually go to the screening stations. There were four screening stations. They were all the same. They were staffed by our lab screeners who would do the finger prick, and then nursing students or nurse volunteers from the hospital, or even some of our team members would do the BMI station where we did height, weight, blood pressure, and all of that. And after they turned in the survey, they would get a linkage to care and screening form. That's what the numbers got written down on. And so to give you an idea of what that looked like, there were three different parts to it. The pink form was on the back. It all bled through, and so we actually got the pink form without anyone's identified data, so we didn't get participants' names or contact information on that. It was de-identified, but that way we were able to see if people's numbers changed as the intervention was going on. Participants would get the top copy to take home with them right then, and then the middle copy would go to their linkage to care person when they were referred into care so that they could continue to follow up with that person after the screening. And so zooming in on the middle part of the form, that's where the screening results were actually put on the form. So you can see all the measurements and labs that were taken there on site that day. And then depending on what range their numbers were in, that's how we knew which person they needed to talk to at the end of the screening. And so after they would do that and get all of their results, they would come back to us again at a checkout table. And that's where they would get their copy of the results form. We would take a copy, give a copy to the linkage to care person. They were reimbursed at the baseline, the first screening, $20, and then $25 at the 8 month if they did the whole process again. And then since we were at the intervention churches, with the linkage to care services on site, they would also get an example of one of the tools. And so this is what one of the tools looked like. It was designed by our community action board. And this is just a commitment pledge saying that we commit to participating in this project and being involved and working toward healthy eating to try and prevent diabetes, heart disease, and stroke in our church. And so the last step was when they would take their results over to the table that had folks from the DPP program and from our local health clinic, and they would go over the results and get them either linked into care or signed up for the DPP program, depending on what folks needed and were qualified for. And there was a spot at the bottom of the linkage to care form that would allow for us to track what they were referred into based on their results. And so these are just a few pictures of us at one of the churches for Sunday morning screening to give you a quick idea of what it looks like. And so what worked well? We received a lot of positive feedback from participants saying that they really liked that we were on site, that they could do it before, during, and after the church service. The pastors and church leadership was supportive, and so they were okay with folks leaving the church service and then coming back in. And so that helped a lot. Without the church leader support, that would not have been possible. And so having everything on site and having them take their numbers home with them, we had a lot of good feedback. And a few folks actually had doctor's appointments the next week, they said, and they wanted to take their sheets with them to be able to talk more with their doctor, especially after talking with one of our CHWs on site. Recruitment. What worked well was the pre-scheduling. We would not have been able to have all of those participants come down at once, and so doing time slots with them really helped mitigate the flow, having people come in a fairly steady stream. And then screening procedures, there were a lot of coordination meetings and working with our partners ahead of time, and so we did have a pretty clear set of roles for everyone who was going to be doing what where, and that really helped to keep things structured and orderly, and then communicating with our staff, making sure everyone knew who was working what weekend, where we were at, things like where to park and where to bring in the equipment, things like that really helped to have done ahead of time. And then identifiers, in that bottom right picture, one of the churches actually put up balloons that were different colors. And since it was in a large room, like most of them were in the church fellowship hall, We thought that was a great idea. One of our church health leaders did that, and that way we could just direct people, go to one of the stations with the yellow balloons or go to one with the red balloons. And so we do want to incorporate that in the future because that worked really well. There were quite a few challenges as well. There were some issues with calibrating the equipment, so the scales were not all quite calibrated the exact same way. So they were like a decimal point off, and we do want to fix that for the next one. Cost of supplies, the equipment was lent to us from the medical supply company, thankfully, and then through the grant we paid for the test kits, but we do want to look at how this is sustainable, how this can continue in the churches and in our community, and so we need to continue to build our partnerships and work to figure out, after the grant's over, how can we keep this going given the cost of the supplies and testing equipment becomes fairly expensive. Volunteers. We did have some issues getting enough people there and keeping people there, and there would often be different volunteers there each week, especially with our BMI stations and nurse volunteers. And so looking at incentives or ways to keep people continually coming back so that we're not retraining every week. And sometimes you lose things when you're training people every week. They might not all be doing things consistently. And so that leads into actually recording things on that form. Some folks were putting one or two decimal points out, which didn't seem like a big deal on site, but then when you go to enter and analyze data, it becomes a problem if not everything is entered the exact same way. And so originally we also did waist circumference, which is really hard to do when folks are, you know, sometimes some of these were in the winter and folks are really dressed and with your sweaters and suits on. But then if you do it in the summer, 8 months later, then the clothing can really affect that measurement. We actually didn't end up doing that measurement at the 8 months because there was so much variability with it, but that's something to consider as well. And so we are looking at how can we enhance the trainings for volunteers and how can we keep getting the same volunteers to come back and do it for more than one at a time. So we've looked into using university students, maybe developing some new partnerships with professors if they can get credit for class, if they attend so many of them, and trying to figure out some other relationships we can build to get more volunteers to come on a consistent basis. And then we've also been revising the forms. We did a little bit of revision kind of in the middle of the project before the 8 months. But trying to make things clear, having even spaces for so that people know how many decimal points to record some of those things out to. Redeveloping some of the procedures and flow charts to make sure there was a little bit of miscommunication on site if we had new volunteers on where they were supposed to go and who they were supposed to direct the participants to next. So being a little bit clearer about that ahead of time. And then some of our participants suggested having like a Q&A, there were some similar questions that were asked throughout, and so having a little bit more information, handouts for them to take home. We had a few on site, but we had some great suggestions to enhance that. And so next steps, we've applied for a grant. So this was a pilot study with six churches, and so we've applied for a grant to try and make this into a clinical trial. And so that was just submitted a few months ago, and so we're hoping to hear from that, and then we'll continue to enhance the project and talk more about sustainability with our Community Action Board. Thank you.